This morning is an exciting time for us as a congregation to be able to bring in new members. And I always enjoy meeting with new members, and I don't get to meet with all of them anymore. But this time again, I was struck with how lives have been changed as they've come in contact with Jesus Christ. And that's actually just sort of the message of the gospel, and one part of the message of the gospel is that our lives are changed as we come in contact with Jesus Christ. And I want to make those comments at the start of the message, because I'm always struck with that as I sit with people and hear their stories and hear who they were before Christ and who they are after Christ. And we're all in a growing time in our lives, and none of us have arrived yet, but yet God continues to move and work and change us as individuals. And I'm excited about some of the people that we're taking in here this morning, because I believe God has done a work in lives here again, and it's good to be to have them as a part of the body of Christ. Our church here in particular. Several weeks ago, I preached a message on do we have what it takes as Christian people, and especially thinking of our culture and the world that we live in, and I believe where we're at as a church and the trouble we're in. And I want to come back again with another message about this. The title of my message this morning is Kingdom Christianity, because we can talk about where we're at as a church and what's going on and all those kind of things, but the truth is, or the question is on the other side of that, is what's sort of at the bottom of that? Why are we in trouble as a church in America? What's going on that we're at a place that where many people across the board, across denominations, are saying something's going on? And most of you know by now that I've been asked to teach in Thailand kingdom theology over there, and I've been doing some studying on that. And I want to come back, and actually I can't unpack very much of it this morning, and I hope I can give enough of it that you can get a little bit of taste. But I believe it's the heart and soul of where we've gone astray as a church. And I can only give you a small portion of that this morning. But Leo Tolstoy said this. He's a Russian writer. He lived from 1828 to 1910. He said, "Today, as in days past, there is no way to tell from a person's life and from his deed whether or not he is a believer." That's a pretty powerful statement. How many of you agree with that statement? Okay, there's a few brave souls here this morning that agree with that statement. How many of you don't agree with that statement? Okay, about the same amount of brave souls that are willing to risk an opinion on that statement. That's a statement we need to think about, because there's actually a lot of truth to that statement, but I don't believe it's 100% true. And if it is 100% true, we are definitely in trouble as a church in America. But there is some truth to what he's saying. And the reality is, I want to talk about this a little bit later, but some of the truth of his statement is our belief on salvation. And I want to talk about that a little bit later. But I had to think about that quote for a long time. Because if it's true, then we need to take a look at our lives pretty seriously if there's no way to tell. But what does it mean if you can't tell? And I want to talk about that a little bit later on this morning. Open your Bibles. I want to read just a couple of verses. I could have filled my sermon up with verses this morning. I decided not to do that for the sake of time, but I want to read just a couple. Matthew chapter 3. Turn your Bibles there. Matthew chapter 3, verse 1 says, "In those days, John the Baptist came preaching in the wilderness of Judea, saying, 'Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand.'" So John the Baptist starts out his ministry in sort of the introduction of Jesus' ministry, and he's coming and saying, "Hey, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. The kingdom of heaven is at hand." And Jesus actually followed up with that, followed John the Baptist in chapter 4, verse 23, "And Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom." So Jesus follows up with the same thing here. Actually, there's other verses where Jesus actually said the exact same words that John the Baptist said. Jesus said as well, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." And it's interesting that one of the temptations that Satan brought to Jesus in chapter 4, verse 8, Jesus takes him up to the mountain and shows him all the kingdoms of the world and said, "Hey, if you will just bow down to me, I'll give you all the kingdoms of the world." The question is, did Jesus even want the kingdoms of the world? And the answer to that is no, he wasn't interested in them because he was setting up a heavenly kingdom. The kingdom of heaven was at hand. He was coming to establish the earth, the heavenly kingdom on earth. And I want you to hang with me here because I know there's some false teaching about what I'm just talking about, and I'm beginning to talk about that's taken way too far and is taken out of context. But I want you to hang with me for a little bit here, because Jesus came to establish a heavenly kingdom. He wasn't even interested in the kingdoms of the world. He was interested in the kingdom of heaven that he was about to establish. And yet that's what Jesus, Satan tempted him with. Satan tempted him with giving him all the kingdoms of this world. What does kingdom Christianity mean for us today? What is it all about? There's a couple of things that I want to talk about. The kingdom, for us to live kingdom Christian lives, Christianity, let me put it that way, kingdom Christianity is about the fact that the kingdom of heaven is here right now. Old Testament theology, Jewish theology was this, that this is the age that we're living in right now, and the characteristics of this age or this kingdom, if I could put it this way. By the way, let me say this. When I'm talking about kingdoms, I'm not just talking about governments. That's a part of it. But I'm talking about thought processes and beliefs and how we live our lives, how we think about life. It's a whole thing. It's the way that the kingdom is run through government. It's all kinds of things like that. But it's also thought processes and what we believe and how we think. But we have the kingdom of this age, which is the characteristics of rebellion, injustice, oppression, warfare, lust, going on and on. And then in the Old Testament, the belief was, the Jews believed that there was going to come what we know as the coming day of the Lord, or the Lord was going to come and issue in another kingdom. And after that, the coming kingdom or the coming age is what was coming. But there was going to be a one-time thing, and after that it was going to be obedience, justice, righteousness, peace, and plenty. And the truth is, many of us ascribe to this today. We believe we live in today's age, this age right now, the age, the kingdoms of this world, the age of this world. We live there, and someday Jesus is going to come back and right everything, and then we're going to live in the coming age. There's truth to that, but it's not the whole picture. That's not what it's all about. Actually, next slide. Actually, this is more of a better picture of where we're at today. We have this age, which characterized all those other things before, and in the age came the life, ministry, and death of the Messiah. Jesus came right here, and he instituted the coming age. And then we're going to have the coming day of the Lord, or what we know about as the end of times here on this earth, and then we're going to be. Actually, let me say this. So the kingdom of God is right now. This is where we're at right now. The kingdom of God has already been established here on this earth. It's already happening. That's what Jesus did when he came. He established, he said, I'm coming to establish, it was all about the kingdom of heaven. There's going to be a time when that is fulfilled in greater measures than we'll ever experience on this earth. That's when Jesus comes back again, and then we'll go into the coming age where there is no more of the death and the sin and the things that we're experiencing now. But right now, we're finding ourselves in this gap right here. But the thing I want us to catch as people is, and now, actually, this can be taken too far. Let me just explain this. I've heard a lot of teaching on this, that the coming age is already here, and so the kingdoms of this world are not legitimate. And the kingdoms of this world are, like, they're not legitimate government because God is supposed to be the governor and the king, and we sang about that this morning. So this can be taken too far, but the truth is, Jesus came to set up a kingdom. The kingdom is here and now. We live in the kingdom of heaven. God calls us to live in the kingdom of heaven while we're living on this earth. We're to be a part of the kingdom of heaven. And I don't know if I can explain this well enough in a short amount of time, but I don't know about you, that changes my perspective. Because the kingdom of heaven is right now. He's asking me to be a part of that and to display and to operate all the characteristics of the kingdom of heaven. He changed how life was to be lived. From the Old Testament to the New Testament, he ushered in a new kingdom. And he said, I don't want you to be a part of the other kingdom. I want you, he invited us to be a part of his kingdom. The truth is, today we're living lives in one of these two kingdoms. It's the only two kingdoms that that there are. We're either in one or we're in the other. We're living in one. If we're Christians, if we're a part of the kingdom of God, kingdom of heaven, we're still living in the kingdoms of this earth, but we can only serve one or the other. And it's a belief that we have lost as Christians in today's culture. We try to blend these two, and they can't be blended. Jesus said, I'll talk about that later. I'm jumping ahead just a little bit. But he's calling us. He's calling us and inviting us to be involved in his kingdom. And he said, I'm establishing it. So the kingdom of God is right here. It's right now. Number two, kingdom Christianity is about the kingdom instead of salvation as our foundation. I want you to catch that because that is very important. Kingdom Christianity is about the kingdom instead of salvation as our foundation. And I can't unpack this in ways that I should this morning, but I want to talk about that for a little bit. The bedrock of Jesus' teaching was about the kingdom. It's fascinating. If you want to do a fascinating study, in my Bible study software, I just went and typed in kingdom, and I looked at all the places that Jesus talked about the kingdom, and it is absolutely astounding. That is the essence of his message. That was the essence of the message that Jesus Christ preached. The kingdom of heaven is like. The kingdom of heaven is like. He goes on and on. That's what he preached. The kingdom of heaven is like this. If you want to be a part of the kingdom, this is how you have to live. This is about life in the kingdom. It's astounding. Jesus doesn't even talk about salvation, except when there's a few times that he mentions the word salvation, and anything like that is when he talks about things like salvation is of the Jews. Like salvation is coming through the Jews. And that the bedrock of what Jesus taught was not salvation. The bedrock of what he taught is there's a new kingdom coming, the kingdom of heaven. I'm bringing it to earth. Will you be a part of my kingdom? That's the bedrock of what he taught. Everything that the apostles taught on top of that, they taught with that foundation. They understood that foundation. They walked with Jesus. They understood. They heard him teach. They understood that the foundation of Christianity was about kingdom life and kingdom Christianity, not about salvation. So when they taught on about salvation and the things that we read in the epistles and from the apostles, they were preaching it from the foundation of the kingdom, not the foundation of salvation. Flip that next slide up, Tim. Actually, it's explained like this. We have the kingdom of this world and the kingdom of heaven. And salvation is only the bridge between the two kingdoms. That's all salvation is. Salvation is just the bridge between two kingdoms. The problem is in our world today, we've made the bridge our foundation. That's what we shoot for. That's what we live for. That's what we try to get people to do, is just get saved. Just say a little prayer and you're okay. And that's our focus. That has been our focus as Christians, actually, since Constantine became emperor about 300 years after Jesus died. And I want to talk about that. That was probably the biggest thing that shaped Christianity in the history of the world. And it actually has shaped our thinking today. It's why we think what we think. But for the first 300 years of Christianity, their foundation was kingdom. It was not salvation. But that has been our total focus. That has been the bedrock of Christianity in today's world, and that's why we're in trouble. Because salvation is not the issue. Kingdom living is the issue. We're either living in the kingdom of this world or we're living in the kingdom of heaven, and salvation is only the bridge that goes between the two. And let me say this, the early church and the Anabaptists believe this. This is staggering to me as I've gotten into it, that salvation comes by two parts. It's by confession, which we believe in. In fact, the church as a whole, that is the only thing it takes, is confession. But the apostles didn't believe that was the only thing. The other thing that followed up confession was kingdom living. And if you didn't live life in the kingdom, you were not a Christian. It didn't matter what you confessed. Because the kingdom living was way more important. That was the bedrock. That was the foundation of everything, and you had to have the two together to be a Christian. And if you ever confessed and stopped living kingdom Christianity, you were no longer a Christian. And we've changed that. We've changed that. And we say, if you just pray a prayer, you're good for the rest of your life. And I tell you, we don't believe in eternal salvation very much. We say we don't, but actually we do. We believe in that a lot more than we want to agree with. Because the truth is, we say that if you ascribe, I'm jumping into another point here, but if you ascribe to a set of beliefs and you confess with your mouth, you're good. The early church didn't believe that because kingdom living was at the bedrock. And there's two parts to salvation, not just one part. And if you didn't follow up with kingdom life after your confession, you weren't a Christian. It just didn't. They didn't believe that, and you had to prove that you were involved in kingdom life. Jesus came to usher in a new age, a new kingdom. He was. Let me say this before I say that. Salvation. When salvation is our foundation, it's all about me. You ask people what the gospel is all about, this is what we say. This is what I say. It's about Jesus and coming and dying for my sins so that I can be saved and go to heaven. And we go on and on. Salvation is all about me. But that's only a small part of what salvation is all about. Jesus came to usher in a new kingdom, and his death on the cross, definitely, no question about it, it's true that his death on the cross was for my sins. Absolutely, we can't get away from that. That is absolutely true, but that's only a small part of it. Jesus was ushering in a new kingdom, and instead of operating like the Old Testament, where the kingdom of God was advanced through wars and through nationalism and all those kind of things, Jesus ushered in another kingdom and said, this kingdom will be won through my death on the cross. Life is brought by death. That's true for every one of us. We only find life through death. We find victory through laying down our lives. It's a completely other way of thought. It's another kingdom. It's another way of operating. And Jesus brought that in. And that's what he was focusing on. It's about kingdom Christianity. It's not about salvation. It's about a new way of thinking. It's about a new life. Kingdom Christianity is about relationship instead of theology. I talked about when Constantine became emperor. It's fascinating. I don't know how much study you've done of Constantine, but I always thought he was this Christian emperor that did incredible things for the Christian community. No one else has said this. I'm saying this, but as I've read it, the exact opposite is true. He probably did more damage to Christianity than any other thing that happened to the church up in those first 300 years. He did more damage to it. Because what happened is he legalized Christianity, and the church went from being a persecuted church that believed lots of things to a persecutor church. And it all came through Constantine. And Constantine, I'm going to sum it up just here real quickly for you in a nutshell. But Constantine wanted to take over the Roman Empire because when he became emperor, it was split in, I think I have this right anyway, it was split into five sections. He immediately killed three of the guys, and so the empire was down to two sections, the east and the west, and he wanted the east or west, I forget where he was, and he wanted victory in the battle that he was about to ensue to take over the other part of the Roman Empire. So he called the Christian church. This is in essence what he said. I'm putting it in today's term and in my language. But he called in the Christian church and said, if you will come in and bless me as I go to war, I will legalize Christianity. And so the church came in and blessed him as he went to war. And they put crosses on their shields, and they went out and totally destroyed the other army. And then he came back and said, see what great victory the Lord has given me. This is putting it in my terms. And so he was like, the Lord definitely had a blessing on me. And in reality, he took over the church. He actually mediated conferences to decide what the church was going to believe. And from that point, if you didn't believe like the church believed, you were killed. And Constantine instituted all of that. And so the church went from being a dynamic, vibrant church that was persecuted around the world, and they wanted relief from that, were tired of being persecuted. They gave in to Constantine. They went from being a persecuted church to being a church that persecuted. And that's pretty astounding. And yet we look at that age as this awesome age for Christianity. It wasn't an awesome age for Christianity, because what happened right in that whole process was Christianity went from being a relationship with Jesus Christ to, if I agreed to what Constantine and the bishops of the church said, I was okay. If I ascribed to the right theology, I was okay. If I didn't ascribe to that theology, my head was lifted off of my shoulders. And that changed Christianity from being a relationship with Jesus Christ and in the kingdom of Jesus Christ to, if I just believe the right theology, if I'm baptized into the church under the right theology, if I believe the right theology, I'm okay. And I tell you what, that's where many of us are today in our churches. We're baptized into a set of belief systems, not into a relationship with Jesus Christ, not into the kingdom of Jesus Christ. We're baptized into a theology that we believe, whether that's Baptist, whether it's Methodist, whatever it is. We're baptized into a theology. We're not baptized into a relationship with Jesus Christ. And I believe that's one of the key reasons why we're in trouble as a church. Because it's about a kingdom. Christianity is about a relationship with Jesus Christ. Theology has to be right. That's true. I'm not saying that we're careless in our theology. But that's not the foundation. A relationship with Jesus Christ is a foundation in living in His kingdom. It's about a relationship instead of theology. In kingdom Christianity, our allegiance can only be in one kingdom. And this is where we're in trouble in America. This is one of the things. We've lost in Christianity. We believe that we can have allegiance in two kingdoms. There's absolutely no way. Adolf Hitler said this. You all know who he is. I don't need to explain who he is. He understood that better than we do as Christians sometimes. Adolf Hitler said this: "One is either a good German or a good Christian. It is impossible to be both." That's a pretty powerful statement from Adolf Hitler. It's 100% true. He understood it better than we do. You're either you can't be a good Christian and a good American. I hate to say that here in this, because it flies in the face of what we've been taught. But you cannot be a good Christian and a good American. Jesus put it this way: "No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to the one and despise the other." James 4:4 says, "Do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Whoever wants to be a friend of the world or the kingdoms of this world makes himself an enemy of God." Allegiance can only be for one or the other, because there's only two kingdoms. And we can't have allegiance in both. If our allegiance is in both, we're not in the kingdom of heaven. That's quite obvious. And that's why Jesus can say things like he said and get by with it. Because we're either going to be loyal to him and his kingdom, and if we have any ties to the other kingdom, we're not a part of his kingdom. Because you can't be a good Christian and a good American. You can't be a good Christian and a good German. Because they're a part of two separate kingdoms. Now, I'm not saying that we rise up and, you know, create a revolt or anything like that. But our allegiance can only be in one kingdom or the other. Our allegiance can't be in both. So what does it mean for us to be a part of the kingdom of heaven and live in a kingdom here on earth? And that's where all the practical stuff comes out, like non-resistance. And there's a host of things that I actually wouldn't mind talking about some more in the future. Because we can't ascribe to the kingdom of the world through force and all kinds of things. Jesus said, he's no longer operating in that kingdom. It's not happening. We take over the world through laying down our lives and sacrifice, not through force. God is no longer spreading the kingdom like he did in the Old Testament by the Israelites going out and killing other people. Jesus ushered in a new kingdom. And that kingdom is actually the symbol of the new kingdom is the cross. And for us, that's a really good thing. And we have it in our homes and we have it up front and those kind of things. But that's the sign of the new kingdom. It's for all of us. And I want to talk about that actually probably at our communion service. But it's for all of us taking up the cross. Jesus says we have to take up the cross. It's about us laying down our lives. That's how the kingdom of God is advanced. And he's inviting us to be a part of that kingdom. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. It's here. Are we a part of that? And this morning, as the new members come in, as we think of that, as we think about the future of our church, let me say this yet. You guys might be scared of this, but I'm just telling you my heart a little bit. You might freak you out for me to say this a little bit. But I told Starla when I was getting into this, I said, I feel like I want to be rebaptized. And that's just an expression. I don't know that I need to be, but it's just an expression of my heart. Because there's a part of me that when I get a hold of the concept of the kingdom of God, I want to be baptized into that kingdom. Absolutely. I don't want to be baptized in some theology that I ascribe to in a church. I don't even want to be baptized under the auspice of salvation or the thing of salvation. I want to be baptized into a new kingdom. Because that's what I want to be a part of. Because that's the essence and the heartbeat and the soul of Christianity. It's about kingdom life. It's about me saying, here's a new kingdom. I commit my life, heart and soul for it, and I'm gonna go for the new kingdom. And I hope for all of us that we can get that grasp as a body of believers. Do you understand how we're talking about kingdom men in our Sunday school class? But do you understand if we as a body of believers right here get the concept of kingdom Christianity, how it will change how we relate to each other and every other facet, how we relate to our world and every other facet of our lives? It's astounding. It's powerful. I want more of that in my life. I want to get that more because I need that in my life. I need to change the concept from salvation, just this loose little thing that's all about me, to being about the kingdom of Jesus Christ, that he's about advancing and will continue to advance till he comes back and ushers in the fulfillment of his kingdom. That's what Christianity is all about. Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray for us as a congregation. I pray that you would continue to mold and shape us. And Father, I pray that we could get a hold of the concept of kingdom Christianity. You ushered in a new kingdom that's totally different than what we're familiar with in the kingdoms of this world. Lord, the kingdoms are opposed. We want to follow you. This morning, I think just for the sake of time, if God's spoken to your heart in any way and you want to slip it up just to acknowledge that, I want to invite you to do that. Thank you. Thank you. God bless you. Thank you. God, you've seen these hands. Lord, teach us what it means to live and to walk in your kingdom. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.